Today in the Senate and at the UN, questions about the cost of the exercise of American power and the relationship of American power to other countries. So it seems like a good time to check in with the conservative columnist and essayist Charles Krauthammer about the idea that he hatched back in 1990. Back then, when there was still the Soviet Union and still a dynamic Japan, Krauthammer foresaw what he called the unipolar moment, a period of vast U.S. power unrivaled by any competing bloc or pole, a moment that might last for decades. And he wrote, "We are in for abnormal times. Our best hope for safety is in American strength and will to lead a unipolar world, unashamedly laying down the rules of world order and being prepared to enforce them." Charles Krauthammer, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be here.
First, more than a decade later, do you still see that course as our best hope, or are we starting to pay a steep price for unashamedly laying down the rules, say, in Iraq?
I think the price was always steep. One of the prices was 9/11. When you lead the world and in a certain direction, and there are people who believe that the world ought to be going in other places, like Osama bin Laden and his cohorts, you suffer the consequences. History dealt us a hand. We didn't ever seek to be as dominant as we are. It was a series of accidents, the sort of European suicide in the two world wars, and finally the collapse of the Soviet Empire, and we were the last man standing.
Well, does recognizing what you would see then as a realistic appraisal of us being the last man standing and our power relative to other countries, does that imply that when we hear the French or the Germans or the Secretary General of the UN criticize Washington's willingness to go it alone, should we say that we can safely ignore all that criticism because we're number one?
I don't think that we can say we safely ignore it. There are times when it's unsafe to do anything other than to ignore it. The UN makes the kind of an assumption in its own structure and its founding that there is a community of interest in the world, and that doesn't always apply. In the terms of Afghanistan, I think there was. In Iraq, there was obviously a division. But we are in a war. We will not always have all the allies that we want. It doesn't mean that we have to withdraw or give up.
There seems to be a contradiction here between the unrivaled colossus of U.S. military power, which was able to sweep aside the Iraqi army in almost no time, and the task of now occupying and rebuilding Iraq, which seems to be too big for the amount of force we have there, by many people's estimate at least.
Well, not by the word of the generals who are there on the ground. They have not requested more American troops. You could argue that would make more targets, that what we need is better intelligence and we need more Iraqis. It might help to have a constabulary of Germans guarding hospitals and depots. That would probably help and relieve us somewhat. But I think the real issue is that we don't have a military that is sort of designed to build nations. It's designed to destroy armies, which it does rather well. Reconstruction is always very hard. We had it took 5 to 6 to 7 years in Germany. If we compare where Iraq is today to where Germany was after the Second World War, Iraq is immensely more far advanced.
And yet this week, Ambassador Bremer went to the Senate, and members of the Appropriations Committee looked at a $20 billion request for reconstruction and said, that's eye-popping.
I understand, but let's put this in perspective. We have an $11 trillion economy. $20 billion is a lot of money. I don't deny that. Even Everett Dirksen would have admitted that it's a lot of money. He's the man who said a billion here, a billion there, and soon you're talking real money. But in the perspective of our economy, it is a very small percentage if you see it as an investment in our ultimate security. And I think stabilizing the Middle East is about the most important investment in our security you could possibly have.
When you try to look ahead now, and in what still would be an era, as you would see it, of a unipolar moment. Do you see it coming to an end sometime on the horizon? Do you see China emerging as a real rival to the United States, say, 20 years from now?
Ultimately, all unipolar moments end. The Romans had theirs. It lasted a couple of hundred years or longer. I would expect that in our lifetime, we will not see a rival to American power. But the threat today is chaos, terrorism and nihilism as portrayed by the 9/11 people. If we lose this war, then the unipolar moment will end, not because we are eclipsed by another country, but because we have failed and collapsed, and the world will enter into a very, very dark age.
Charles Krauthammer, thank you very much for talking with us today.
It's a pleasure.
Charles Krauthammer talking with us about unipolarism, the relationship of America's dominant power to that of other countries.